You are listening to the Loikamania Pop Culture Podcast. Is brought to you by CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can purchase your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price.
How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Loikamania. We're back after a one-week break, and it's 2012 or 2012, however you want to call it. And we're pretty excited because it's a new year, and there's a lot of stuff coming up over the course of the next 12 months that we're really looking into. Joining me to start the year off right is my good buddy, my almost regular co-host, Mr. Adam Witt. Welcome back, Adam.
Hello. Hey, Pat.
Adam, of course, is the host of the Comics Will Break Your Heart podcast, which has been phenomenal. If you guys haven't checked that out yet, you should look it up. Of course, there'll be a link in the show notes, and you'll see how to you could check out his show and see his listen to the interviews he's done so far, because they have been fantastic. Once again, I was a big fan of the Hornschmeyer interview, and I'm looking forward to the Tom Scioli episode that you have coming up.
That is actually already up.
So oh, is
you
it?
Can check that out. You can check that out at your leisure, sir.
You have never told me that it was up. Okay.
I'm a fool.
You are a fool, Rick. You are a fool. But you are not a fool, however, because you're joining me here right now, and we're going to talk about 2012. Before we get started, we just want to thank our sponsors, CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can get all your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off. They are actually, by the time this is up, it's probably January 4th, which is Wednesday. Today, it's actually the last day of their big sale of their Omnibus and Absolutes for 50% off. You might want to check out CheapGraphicNovels.com, and you might find something there that you want. I mean, they have a ton of stuff there. And, you know, the guys there.
I just ordered the Walt Simonson Thor Omnibus from there.
Good man. I would have partaken in the sale, but I already have pretty much everything there that I wanted. And you're not going to get me to pay anything for an absolute Green Lantern rebirth. But that's me. Anyways, enough of that. Just saying thanks again to those guys, CheapGraphicNovels.com. Yeah, give them a look. And, you know, they're also on Twitter at CheapGNs.com. They're very cool. Max, the guy who runs the Twitter feed there, is a good guy who takes care of us here. So, at any rate, 2012, there's a lot of stuff going on. So, did you want to start with comics, or do you want to kind of, you know, go through whatever? Any order?
Start where you will.
All right, well,
TV?
Okay, because this is unanimous. TV, there's one thing we're both really looking forward to, and that's the return of Breaking Bad, Season 5 in July. That man, I hate the wait.
And it's murder, man. It's absolute murder. It's not fun at all waiting for this. I have a Walter White-shaped hole in my life, and it can only be filled by more Breaking Bad.
Man. Seriously, that cliffhanger, I mean, there was a point where, you know, we weren't sure if that show was going to be coming back, but, you know, and then when you get to the end of season four, you realize that would have been a perfect ending. And then you realize, you know, they haven't, not everyone is accounted for yet. And for those who haven't seen season four yet, because the Blu-ray DVDs are not out yet, so I don't want to ruin it for anyone. But, you know, you'll know what we're talking about when you get to the end. You realize, well, you know, certain things happen. Certain people have been eliminated from the equation. But there's one person, a really dangerous person that people seem to have forgotten about or aren't thinking of right now.
There was something that got kind of written off mid-season two that I think is going to end up playing in that you kind of have to be eagle-eyed to catch. But with Breaking Bad, nothing gets crossed out. You know, everything comes full circle with that. So we'll see what happens, though. I mean, it's the best show on TV right now. So
it really is. That's coming up. Then there's, we were kind of talking beforehand, and there's a few other things on TV that we're looking forward to. Mad Men making its return.
After two years.
Has it been 2 years?
It's been close to that, I think, because I remember they did a big break. It's been a year and a half at least. They've been out of the game for a bit.
Well, I look forward to catching up. Right now, I'm a little behind, but I do have all the seasons on Blu-ray. I'm about a season behind, so I just need to catch up on that, and I'll be right there right when it starts up. The new season of Justified is another thing I'm excited about.
Right on. I'm behind on that myself, so I haven't had a chance to check it out.
Yeah, season 2 comes out on DVD, Blu-ray this week. So if you're looking into getting that, it's up this week, and by the time you finish up, you'll be caught up.
Right on.
I'm also kind of excited to see where Walking Dead is going. You know,
Walking Dead.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to be honest. It hasn't really been that great. I mean, at least in my opinion. But I have to admit, the last 10 minutes of that, you know, mid-season ending, the mid-season finale. I don't know how you want to call that thing, but the last few minutes of that was fantastic. Even though I felt like it was telegraphed, but it was handled really well.
Sure.
So that I'm looking forward to as well. And as far as other shows on TV, God, there's not much else. You know,
I'm just looking forward to the potential Sorkin show on HBO. It's funny too. Like the Hollywood Reporter or whatever story was like, yeah, the tentative title is More as the Story Develops, and they're like, and that's such a terrible title. I was like, man, I fucking love that title. I really like that. The idea of that. I'm a sucker for long titles, though, but either way, it's Sorkin doing a newsroom style series, so you really can't. There's a very small margin of error for that to be anything less than great. So.
And the thing is, that title you mentioned kind of works for the theme of the show, too, so I really have no issue with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? I mean, people are just lazy sometimes, so I'm just going to chalk that up to laziness, and you just don't want to type all those words.
Yeah. I'll tell you what broke my heart this year was finding out, or just at the end of 2011 was finding out that Hung and Bored to Death got canceled. Hung more than anything.
Yeah, I was upset. Disappointed in both of those, in the news for both, because I like those shows quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm interested in what HBO is going to fill those gaps with, because right now they don't really have any killer must-see programming. You could make a case for True Blood, but I'm not going to be one making that case. So.
Well, I like Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay, yeah, I totally agree.
Game of Thrones, and then there's what was that other show that they have? I like Boardwalk Empire just ended, so it's gonna be a while too. So.
Yeah, Enlightened was decent. I can't remember the lead actress, but it's her vehicle, and that ended up being good after you give it a couple episodes. But yeah, it's you know, Bored to Death and Hung beyond anything that I've seen on HBO, really unique and unto themselves. So. We'll see what they decide to bring out for that, because, I mean, those are two really strong character or ensemble, in the case of Bored to Death-driven series, and, like, you don't see – and they've got that comedic edge, so you don't really see that in the stuff that's going on right now. It's pretty solid, straightforward drama stuff.
And those shows, though, are the most – they probably have the most likable characters in all of their shows right now. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
they're sympathetic characters that you can get into easily, and I thought that was –
Have you checked out Luck yet?
What's that?
Have you checked out Luck yet?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance either, but that does look decent.
I'll give it a look. I mean, anything that HBO puts out, I will always give it at least a shot. You know, I do miss the days where, you know, HBO really has like the most amazing lineup. I mean, right now they do have some hits, and there's some good ones, and there's some that I'm not into, but there was a point in time where HBO had like all the shows I wanted to watch, and between
when you've got Six Feet Under and Six Feet Under and The Wire at the same time, it's insane.
Yeah, man. See, speaking of Six Feet Under, though, I noticed I think it was Walmart. They're selling all the seasons for $15 each. I've never seen it that cheap before.
Yeah, that's hard to find.
That's
expensive. They re-released the complete series set in a smaller version for cheaper. And that's amazing TV. You can't go wrong with it. I also kind of a backlog thing, but I went through Oz into 2000.
I need to find that series.
It's so good. Like the only issue I have with it is the soundtrack. Like when you get kind of spoiled by HBO shows that know soundtracking so well, and this show kind of floundered. But beyond that, great acting, great story, just all around good stuff.
I'm trying to picture what the soundtrack would be for a show like Oz. What do they have? Is it like bad hip hop or something?
No. It's like whenever there's going to be a bad moment or a good moment, they telegraph it really badly.
Oh,
you'll understand it when you hear it. It's always like it's just
something in the score.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, cringe inducing.
No, that's awful. As far as TV is concerned, was there anything else? I mean, I can't really think of much because this is not the show for it right now, but you know, of course there's the wrestling stuff that I watch, but man, that's a love hate relationship every other week. So sometimes
I cringe. I watch a handful of Food Network shows, but
Food Network is fun.
I loved Next Iron Chef in 2011. That was they really put that together well with all those really excellent like top name chefs going on those. I have my girlfriend to thank for getting me into those, and Iron Chef's always a pleasure to watch. I mean, they've got really awesome dudes cooking really awesome food, so you can't go wrong there.
Is this still Mark Dacascos as the chairman?
I believe so. Yeah, the guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The secret ingredient is man, that show. I still remember the Japanese show, and they would air it in Food Network and dubbed or with subtitles. And I just remember when the one of the chefs made fish flavored ice cream. The ingredient was fish, and he made ice cream. And I just remember like one of the judges going, "Iron Chef, how could you?"
That's hilarious.
Like what? It's so overly dramatic, and I loved it. Anyway. Moving on, let's, since we're kind of on video related medium, let's talk about movies real quick. Is there any movies that you're into or you're excited about?
I'm interested to see the new. I think it's I can never remember the if it's Rian Johnson, the guy who directed Brick and a couple episodes of Breaking Bad, for that matter. He's coming out with a new film that I'm totally blanking on the name of, but it looks like it could be interesting. It's got a pretty good cast. So I'll check that out, even though I wasn't a huge fan of Brick. I was really impressed with the episode 6 Feet Under, or Breaking Bad. He did the Fly episode, where it was just
Man, that was such a weird episode. I remember a couple of my buddies always asked me about the episode, like, what's the point of that? And that's kind of like a nice little break, so that,
It's the TV equivalent of a one-shot issue,
yeah.
You know? It's just a little breather from what's going on. Mm-hmm. And a lot happens. I mean, I don't think it's really a filler episode. I think it brings a lot to what actually, you know, to what happens in the story. It gives you kind of the confrontation that you're waiting for from Walt and Jesse. Mm-hmm. It's a really good episode. Mm-hmm. You know, very well directed.
You know, I realize also he directed an episode of Terriers too, I believe. That's another show that they should not have canceled.
And I still haven't seen it.
And I think the title you're looking for is Looper.
That's the one.
Yeah, that looks like I'm just the pedigree of the creative involved. You know, I'm okay with that. And it looks like it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bruce Willis, and Emily Blunt. So that's a good cast. And Paul Dano's in it. And Jeff Daniels.
Like it's a dynamite cast, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed with what I'm seeing so far. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that now. The last movie he did, Brothers Bloom. I don't know if you saw that one.
I didn't. I saw Brick and hated it.
Check out Brothers Bloom. I think it's fantastic. It's kind of a heist film, but you know it's a drama. It's really well done. I think you might like that better than you like Brick. Although I personally enjoy Brick, but I can see how people cannot get into that. As far as movies are concerned, I'm pretty predictable. My sensibilities anyway are predictable. I'm looking forward to Avengers. Because, man, who would have thought that you would actually see that in the big screen?
Right, yeah.
So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the new Dark Knight film. I thought the new trailer has been it's really well done. I'm intrigued by it, at least. And, it's the finale to the Nolan Goyer, Bale, Batman trilogy, whatever you want to call it. And it should be... It looks like a lot of fun. The cast is good. They added more people to the cast. This seems to be a pattern with Nolan. You know, he does a movie, he absorbs the rest of that cast and puts them in his Batman movie. Like the only thing, I mean, look at how he took Christian Bale and Michael Caine and took them into the Prestige. I'm actually shocked that Hugh Jackman has not appeared in any other Nolan movies since then. he keeps taking them in the new Dark Knight film. He takes Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Marion Cotillard, and there's a few other folks that show up from who are in Inception. It's like, oh yeah, and of course Tom Hardy playing Bane. It's like, you know, it's like an Inception reunion, but without Leonardo DiCaprio. So yeah, there's that. I have really weird tastes, but I know I'm an unabashed G.I. Joe fan. I'm looking forward to that new movie after that trailer. And it's got The Rock in it.
Everybody loves The Rock.
Yeah, I know, man. He better put someone in a rock bottom or something in that movie. And that movie gains points for me because they have Ray Stevenson in it too. Ray Stevenson's awesome. Ever since Rome, he was, you know, that guy. I'll watch him in anything. And
even Punisher War Journal.
Yeah, Punisher War Zone was awesome.
Warzone.
Yeah, man, that movie was just ridiculous. It's everything you wanted out of a Punisher movie, and you know, you kind of wish it was, you know, there are some things that could have been done better, but you know, that movie was worth it just to see a parkour guy get shot with a rocket launcher or a grenade, and just seeing his blood and guts explode all over the screen. That's wonderful. That's what movies are all about. If you can't shoot a guy trying to do parkour with a rocket launcher in the movie, then you're doing it wrong. Oh, man. But, yeah, there's...
So if you ever direct a movie, we know what to expect.
Yes. And I'm trying to figure out what else is out this year. There's more sequel stuff coming up, which is, you know, which I'm kind of surprised by, but at the same time, you know, I guess that's, you know, that's typical. I mean, there's a new Underworld movie that nobody asked for. There's a new Ghost Rider movie, which I will watch because it's by the Crank guys. They have the Hunger Games. I've never read the books. I don't know what to expect about that, but you know, I hear good things about it. They have an American Pie reunion. Seriously. Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen.
Because no one demanded it.
Yeah.
Sort of situation.
Exactly. Man, they have that Dark Shadows movie comes out this year. The Dictator with Sacha Baron Cohen, which I'm looking forward to. And that Battleship movie. Jeez, there's a lot of really unenticing films coming out, unfortunately. Brave. You know, June 22nd is a pretty decent weekend, though, because they have that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter movie that sounds like a hoot, and Brave by Pixar. That should be fun.
Can't go wrong there.
Yeah. Step Up 4.
Oh, you know I'll be front row to see that.
No, you're not. Then there's Paranorman. I don't know what that movie's about. that title just caught my eye. There's another Resident Evil movie, Judge Dredd in September. That's a lot. Taken 2 is in October. And another Paranormal Activity movie. Man, it's kind of depressing looking at the slate coming out. But, man, I'm actually looking forward to December more than anything because that has the concentration of the most movies I'm excited about. There's World War Z, The Hobbit, and Django Unchained.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that was coming out next year.
That's in December 25, believe it or not, Christmas. And also The Great Gatsby in 3D.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that should be interesting. But, yeah, it's a ridiculous slate of movies coming out this year. But, you know, to me, on the end, all I'm excited about really is Avengers and the Batman movie. The rest, you know, I can take or leave. All that matters is I see those two films. This year looks to be another one of those years where it's just, like, you know, a lot of sequels that nobody asked for. I mean, seriously. Was Clash of the Titans such a big hit that, you know, Wrath of the Titans had to be made? You know, that's...
One would hope not, mm-hmm. given the quality of that film.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess enough people liked it, so whatever. I'm not gonna shit on people for liking what they like, but man. It just feels... The whole year is saturated with sequels. There's at least one sequel each month. So, you know, whatever. As far as, I guess we can move on to comics now and really, you know, get into it there. There's a lot of good comics coming out this year. A lot of stuff I'm excited about. Before we start out on stuff that's about to come out, let's talk about stuff that's about to end, though. This is the year we'll see the end of Northlanders and Scout and Punisher Max. And I'm very sad by that, over that.
Yeah, I mean, most of the books are getting the ending they were projected to have, you know, with Scalped and Punisher Max, at least. So, I mean, that's cool, you know, that they're getting the ending that they were supposed to have. Northlander's kind of a pain in the ass, but he's at least got it to where he had an endpoint that he could work with. But they're all great books. I mean, at least, you know, we'll have the back catalog. Scalped will be great, I think, to read in one sitting, the entire thing.
Yeah. And then they're going to put out an omnibus or something. And I was like, oh, you should have waited. I'm really excited to see where Scalp goes. It can't be a happy ending, but it's Jason Aaron. But after reading his stuff on Wolverine and the X-Men, you realize, man, what if that Jason Aaron was to seep into the final issues of Scalp? Just imagine that.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what else he ends up writing this year, because his plate's getting really clear. He's not doing Wolverine anymore after a fashion. He's ending Scalped, so it's his, you know, he's thinning out what he's working on, so I'd imagine he's going to pick up a couple more books. Yeah, I know he said in his Where the Hell Am I column on CBR that he's doing a new creator-owned thing, so that'll be really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this seems to be a year where there's a lot of people kind of moving to do more creator-owned stuff, which is pretty cool. They just announced Jonathan Ross and Brian Hitch, who just ended a 10-year exclusive with Marvel. That is a long time to be exclusive. Ending a 10-year exclusive, and they're going to do a new book called America's Got Powers. Now, I don't know what to think about that yet, because I have not seen any art, nor do I know the full concept yet. But,
right.
It's one of those titles that I'm not quite won over yet by the title or the creative team.
Right.
But, it's an interesting time. But, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about, I mean, yeah, Punisher Max is also ending. And that book has been – I love the fact that, you know, Jason Aaron knew what he was going into when he did that. And even when they first announced the book, he announced that he was only going to be doing basically a 2-year run. You know, and 4 arcs basically is what he said. So I'm glad that he's going to get to do the story he wanted to tell, and it looks like they're going to close that chapter of the Punisher up, which is, you know, I think a good idea. You don't want to kind of overstay your welcome there. You know, he's doing what Ennis did when he left. Northlanders, I love that book so much. I'm just pissed off that it's ending, but at least it's going to have, like, a decent ending. I mean, I haven't read the final DMZ yet, because that's another Brian Wood book that just ended. But I think this is going to be – it's going to be a good ending, and it's going to be a good send-off for that series. And at the end of the day, I'll have, six trades at the end of this, all this?
Seven trades at the end of that, and yeah. I think maybe 12 or 13 for DMZ.
Yeah. And was it 11?
I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with the Massive that he's doing at Dark Horse. Yes. With Christian Donaldson.
Yeah. I'm also excited for his Conan with Becky Cloonan.
Right on.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And I'm also looking forward to his Wolverine and the X-Men, you know, miniseries with Roland Boshi and Mark Brooks. And it looks like a lot of fun. Like, I've been seeing Mark Brooks has been tweeting, you know, random panels here and there, and it looks phenomenal. And again, he's bringing a different kind of game into it, like he did for Uncanny X-Force.
So, yeah, I never liked his art before I saw it in X-Force, and it's he really just completely changed as an artist, and it's, I think, for the better.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a really cool style locked down for that.
Yeah. Again, it's interesting to see what he comes up with for this, because he's, this is kind of a segue, but, you know, he had that artistic boot camp with Howard Chaykin, and ever since he did that, you know, there is a noticeable change in his art style. Speaking of Howard Chaykin, see, I told you, this is well thought out.
Oh, no, I saw where you were going. I was picking up what you were putting down. Yeah. Black Kiss 2.
Yes, Black Kiss 2. I'm very excited about that. And, man, it's amazing to hear.
Image is not ready. Not ready for Black Kiss 2.
Yeah, that book is going to be insane. It's going to be gorgeous, and I'm just happy that, you know, he's going to do whatever he wants. And he had a really good 2011, and it looks like he's gearing up for another good year in 2012. I'm looking forward to that, and I really hope there's more to him than just the Black Kiss. I just want more Chicken Art. I know he's fairly polarizing to some people that I know that listen to the show. Some people are like not fans, but like, you have no heart if you're not a fan of Howard Chaykin. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, they'll be collecting his Marked Man that he's been doing in Dark Horse Presents. Mm-hmm. So that'll be cool to see all in one shot.
Yeah, I would love to have all that. I wish they put out more of his stuff in hardcover form. I would really like
Times Squared get collected, man. What's that? Cool book. Times Squared. I think that might predate American Flag. I can't exactly recall, but it's a really neat book.
Yeah.
Deserves a collection. They're doing the Big Art of Howard Chaykin hardcover, speaking of him, is coming out later this year, later this month, actually, if I remember correctly.
I'm looking forward to that too, and I'm hoping that that's a bit, I'm hoping that's really comprehensive. That that spans
it's
his entire career.
It's 100 some odd pages, so I would hope that it's got some history to it.
Yeah, and just to kind of remind you guys, there is a wonderful interview with Mr. Chaykin over at the Sidebar Podcast. I consider that must listen material. So you should look that up.
Yeah, we were talking about comprehensive. That interview is comprehensive. It's a really, really good talk.
Yeah. And he was having a good time, too. You could tell he was into it. And we've said it before, we'd love to have that guy on, but I don't think there's a point after listening to that interview.
Yeah, I mean,
that would just be self-serving for us.
But that was a perfect interview.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Another thing I'm looking forward to, seeing a creator-owned book, is... Punk Rock Jesus by Sean Gordon Murphy. That dude blew me away on working on Joe the Barbarian for Vertigo, and of course his other stuff has been phenomenal. Off-Road is still one of my favorite little it's one of those graphic novels I would just recommend to anyone who has not read comics, because it's just such a fun little book. And of course his American Vampire work is amazing. So Punk Rock Jesus, That's a must buy in my opinion. He's such a brilliant illustrator. I would buy anything that guy works on, and he's a pretty good dude too. Actually, I met him this past year.
Right.
How about you? You got any anything else you want to add in there?
I know he's got another one coming out, but the only one I can remember the name of is Manhattan Projects by Hickman with Nick Pitara, the guy who drew the Red Wing. The preview for it looks incredible, and it's Hickman doing a creator own ongoing. Plus you've got Feel Better Now coming out later in the year, and the other one I'm blanking on, I think he's doing something with maybe the guy from Transhuman, but I don't know. But it's going to be the year of Hickman. Every year should be the year of Hickman, because that guy's just been constantly putting out incredible work since he started in the industry.
Oh yeah, and man, let's not forget also his work, his Marvel work, his Fantastic Four and FF have been fantastic, for lack of a better term. The War in the Four Cities storyline that's been going, and the stuff going on with Doom and Nathaniel Richards, that all of that stuff has been great. He's been working with great talent too, Steve Epting, Barry Kitson, and Juan Bobillo, which is, man, talk about powerhouse art teams right there. I'm really digging everything he's doing. Of course, Ultimates with Esad Ribic and Dean White, amazing book. Hickman, I think he's going to own 2012. He's going to be one of the guys anyway that's going to own it.
I'm looking forward to Rick Remender's Secret Avengers.
Yeah, that too, man, with Gabe Hardman.
Yeah,
all the preview art I've seen just looks gorgeous, and of course the covers by Art Adams are, man.
Yeah, the stuff Warren Ellis has been doing is really good, too. So it's going to be worth checking out and trade for the people who haven't seen it yet or who are waiting on it.
Yeah.
But, Remender was another one who just had a killer year this year. Who would have thought that, two of the best books in any given year would be Uncanny X-Force, which I guess you can kind of understand. Those are cool characters. But Venom?
Yeah, I know, right?
I would have never guessed that I'd be reading a Venom book and really enjoying it, but Remender is good at what he does.
He definitely is.
When you've got an art team like, Tom Fowler and Tony Moore, you can't really – nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, I really – actually, this is kind of – like a segue again, but I'm excited about his upcoming. There's a big event going on between the Avengers and the X-Men, which I'm really excited about, and I'll get to that in a second. But I would love for him to do a Secret Avengers versus Uncanny X-Force type of thing, because that'll be a nice little sub story or a nice little thing going on underneath that big crossover. I think that would be a lot of fun. You know, it just works perfectly, you know. And of course, there's a lot of ties, you know, between characters there. I mean, you got Beast, who's a Secret Avenger, and if you read the Uncanny X-Force recently, you know, are you caught up, by the way, before I say anything?
Yes.
Yeah, he now knows about the existence of the new X-Force, and he's not a fan. So just imagine what could possibly happen there if those two teams were to meet up. Of course, you got Psylocke and Captain Britain, who are siblings. There's a lot of possible scenarios you could get out of putting those two teams in a mini crossover while the big event is taking place. So yeah, I'm really excited for that. That big event is Avengers vs. X-Men, or AVX, as they want to call it. I'll just say Avengers vs. X-Men because I don't know. It doesn't sound as forced. But I'm excited for that. It feels like, just based off of the synopses I've read and all of the previews and all the talk I've been hearing, you know, it feels like a thematic sequel to House of M. Or basically, you know, another mutant, is, you know, who with nearly unlimited power is, you know, is about to face some kind of trial, and that, you know, that when it's Hope, basically, and the Phoenix Force is going after Hope, and now it's, you know, the two teams are kind of trying to decide what they're going to have to do with this person because of the power she possesses, and you know, it's one of those things again where, you know, the Avengers are just trying to protect the Earth, and the X-Men trying to protect someone from their species, their Messiah. So it should be interesting. It looks like it's going to be picking up some threads from a lot of the stuff that's going on right now, like in Children's Crusade. And it's written by all five architects, you know, Hickman, Aaron, Bendis, Fraction, and Brubaker. I'm very interested to see how that itself is going to go, just because of all those personalities involved in writing, you know, one strip. I mean, just the logistics and just trying to figure out how this whole thing is going to work out is one of the most fun things about it. So, are you going to be checking that out?
Yeah, I'll give it a look. Yeah. I mean, just based on the names on it, it'll be worth checking out. Yeah. Speaking of Avengers, for that matter, I'm interested to see how Bendis's run wraps up.
Yeah, he's finishing up the big Osborne arc. You know, he starts the year by putting the final nail on the Osborne coffin. And I think they're doing the big Ultron war after that. I think that's his swan song. But, you know, who knows if there's anything else. He has like a full year basically worth of stuff still coming.
Yeah. And I'm not like celebrating him leaving it or anything. I'm just interested to see how he takes. I mean, he's been on the book since late 04.
Yeah.
You know, he's been writing these characters. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all trickles down in the end. Man, that's 8 years. That's crazy. Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, and he's been on that book forever, and he's written that book longer than anyone else. He's written more issues than anyone else between the spin-offs and all that stuff. So again, it's very interesting times, you know, for Brian Bendis, and I'm excited for it, and I'm sad that he's leaving the book, but I think, you know what, it's always good to know when your time is up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
I'm interested to see who they bring on to fill those shoes, because they're not unsizable, you know. It's their biggest franchise now at the end of a movie year, so
yeah,
they're gonna have to bring out a big gun for it.
I'm hoping. God, I don't know who I want, but I would love to see Fraction, you know, take over that book. I think he'd be.
He's got Defenders, though.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think Brubaker's going to take it. Man, Jason Aaron writing Avengers, though? Jason Aaron, or he doesn't even have to be an architect. Like, how about, man, Remender? I'd be excited for Remender on Avengers. I think he would nail that book. And since he's already writing some of those characters, you know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
My guess, if I had to put one out, unfortunately, Mark Millar. But we'll see what happens.
that guy is not going to be writing anything in company. He's not going to write any corporate comics anytime soon, just based off of how he is. So, whatever. any other comics that you're excited about?
Tons, man. Looks like it's going to be a good year. I mean, Paul Hornschmeyer's doing a new Forlorn Funnies thing.
Nice.
Scioli's got a new webcomic coming out, an American Barbarian in print at the beginning of the year, like in February. New Bulletproof Coffin, which you can't go wrong with. David Ein and Shaky Kane making more fucking amazing comics. Anything Darwin Cook does. I think is he going to do a new Parker this year?
Parker coming out this year. Actually, speaking of Darwin Cook, What are your thoughts on the so-called Watchmen prequels that are rumored to come out this year?
I'll read them if they're good, man.
I will probably read them too, based on who the creative teams are. I'm not going to judge. I mean, the characters are there, and I can understand why. I mean, comics are a business, and I can understand why people are going to want to make sequels. Or prequels, rather. At least it is a prequel instead of like them doing something that takes place after. I wouldn't mind seeing more of their backstory unfold and see more of those characters. But it depends on who's writing it. There's a certain writer that I will not pick up. But I'm not going to name. Yeah, there's a certain writer.
I'm looking forward to not seeing more of his comics in the year 2012. That's a good precedent.
We're not going to name names. Let's just leave it at that.
It rhymes with shmay, shmem, shmess.
that's terrible.
Thank you.
Never mind. And also, you brought Tom Scioli, and he's coming up. He's ending Godland this year, apparently.
Yeah, man. The dude has a busy year ahead of him with Godland wrapping up and the new webcomic thing starting up. American Barbarian come out in print, and that's actually ending too. So yeah, man. And if the people listening haven't checked out his stuff, if you like Jack Kirby, if you like good comics, if you like old school stuff, get on it. Google his name, do something. Check him out.
He's a really interesting dude, man. I like that guy is. I like that guy and just the way he thinks. He's really in this thing just for the pure love of making comics.
Talking to him, he was a total sweetheart. Like I didn't know how that was gonna go, but like talking to him, he was as nice as could be. He kept me on the phone for like 45 minutes or so afterwards, which is you can't beat that. I mean I already love his work, but after that, it's like there's no reason not to support his stuff.
Oh yeah, I need to listen to that show. Oh man, I'm trying to figure out if there's anything else in comics. I mean, of course, I'm looking forward to seeing what other changes the current roster of creatives on the DC 52 are.
Because that has been a very interesting Flash, man.
I'm sorry.
I'm looking forward to seeing more Flash over there. And hopefully the rumored Justice Society with James Robinson starts up.
Yeah, I want to see that badly. I think James Robinson was built to write Justice Society. Just the Golden Age. So it was all the proof we need.
And anything he does with legacy characters usually runs pretty well. I mean, Starman has that familial aspect, and Justice Society is entirely built on that. So yeah, I think it has the potential, especially with Nicola Scott drawing, the potential to be really, really good.
Yeah, I'm missing her art pretty much all year long. So I'm really looking forward to them collaborating. I'm excited for more Batman. Snyder and Capullo are killing it right now.
Flexman Tallow.
Hardcover, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Finally. Like, how many years has that been out of print now?
Forever.
came out in 96. I didn't even know it was that old, but it's been, I think is that 18 years or am I adding wrong?
That sounds right. Jesus, that is a long time.
16, pardon me. But yeah, I mean, that's 16 years that book's been out of print. So, and I mean, people don't know what they're, like, literally, unless you've read it, you have no idea what you're missing if you're a fan of Morrison and all that. It's, our buddy Corwin called it the Rosetta Stone to the rest of his library of work, and it totally is. And it's just, it's such a great superhero story. And it presages everything that he does in comics afterwards. So it's really neat to see how he does it. And quietly just like turning in the artwork of his lifetime in there. I didn't even realize it was him drawing it when I first opened it up. It's it's so different. And I remember you and I were talking about, you know, the kind of Howard Chaykin influence on his art, and that's where you can really see it. It's easy to miss it in other spots, but it's full on there in Flaxman's Hollow.
Yeah. I'm thinking about indies. I'm also looking forward to, of course, Fatale by Brubaker and Sean Phillips from Image. Yep. That looks phenomenal. Also looking forward to Saga by BKV and Fiona Staples. I love Fiona Staples' work. And BKV, you know, he's been hit or miss with me, but most of the time he does good stuff. So
yeah, it has potential.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see it because, you know, he hasn't been in comics for a while. It looks like he's, again, doing creator-owned stuff. And he has another book coming out with Marcos Martin, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So that should be very interesting. Speaking of Marcos Martin, Daredevil by Mark Waid, man, more of that. I can't wait to see more of that.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
Defenders by Fraction. I can't wait to see
more of that. Yeah, we only have one issue. That was like I picked that as like my favorite new launch of one of my favorite launches of this past year, and you know, just on the strength of that first issue, because my God, that was so much fun, and it feels like a 70s Marvel comic, but it's very, very modern, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got all the hallmarks of the stuff Fraction does. He was talking vaguely about a new creator-owned thing this year, which I would be delighted to see. Yeah. I'm just happy that dude's making comics. Demon, the arc that's going on in Invisible Iron Man right now is really excellent.
I'm a little behind on Iron Man by a couple issues, but I look forward to reading that one.
Oh, it's killer. Okay. It's really, really good. This might, like, other than the single one-off issues like the annual and issue 500 and 500.1, I think this is the best stuff he's done with Iron Man so far. You can one thing that I've always appreciated about Fraction's work is that you can count on it to have just a huge, powerful ending. And I think that's what we're building toward with his Iron Man stuff, because it's really like all of it's coming full circle. A lot of the history of the character is coming full circle. It's really – it's exciting to read. And you realize kind of like he was doing some Hickman-style seed sowing early on. And it's impressive to see. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think the thing I love about Fraction stuff, actually, especially with his Iron Man stuff, is that there, you mentioned the seed sowing, you know, or world building. The world building, I think, is fantastic. Everything that's placed out there for you to digest is deliberate, and it's there for a reason. And then eventually it's all coming to a head. I mean, look at all the people that he's facing here in this demon arc. Look how everyone kind of tied together from the very first arc. You know, you got Zeke Stain back in this. You got, you know, of course you got the Hammer Girls and of course the Mandarin. Everything's building up, and it's always cool to see, you know, it's very rewarding for someone who follows a book for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I respect it just for the fact that, you know, Fraction from the first two trades got me into a character that I really never had any interest or liking for. And it's like, here are the reasons that you should like Iron Man. You know, I think you can give that book to people that don't read superhero comics and all walks of life and give them something to dig about it.
Yeah,
and
I mean, yeah, anyone who's seen the Iron Man movie can get into that because
he
nails the character. And
more Casanova.
Oh God, yeah! I want more Casanova, and I want more Criminal already. Damn it! As much as I'm excited about Fatale, I just want more.
You won't be happy until Criminals Weekly.
Well, yeah, that's also true, but you know, that's neither here nor there. At this point, let's move on to some comments and some, you know, some Twitter replies and kind of just, you know, kind of comment on that as well. There, you know, I put the call out for people to see what they're excited about, and we got quite a bit of responses going on. Jake McGill on Twitter says he's excited about big creators going creator owned. Well, you know, that's not a new thing, but you know, it does seem that a lot of people have been doing that more than ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's always been, I mean, even the biggest names who are, you know, locked up in Marvel contracts like Fraction and Brubaker and Bendis have been doing creator owned work. So, yeah, more of that is always good. Then at Trey Crimson says, Fatale by Brubaker and Sean Phillips, Avengers and Dark Knight Rises movies, and the continuation of the New 52. Again, we've all discussed all that. The New 52, I'm excited to see where it keeps going, but I'm worried that by the time we get to the end of the year, like, none of the creative teams will be the ones that started the book.
Yeah. As long as they're putting out good work, it doesn't matter to me who's writing it, you know?
Yeah. the underscore KIA, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, KIAI, is excited for Dark Knight Rises and Avengers, Avengers versus X-Men, The Last of Bendis' Avengers, more Snyder Batman, and whatever DC is cooking. Yep, well, there's a lot of good stuff there in that list. You know, we talk about Bendis' Avengers, that book has been, has had such an effect on me. So just seeing the fact that he's leaving that book is, it really is saddening to me. But, you know, better to go out on top than to overstay your welcome. Next up is from Daryl Taylor of the Taylor Network of Podcasts, folks. And he is looking forward to the new superhero movies coming up, like The Avengers, Spider-Man, and Dark Knight Rises, and just excited to read another great year of reading comics. I like that. I like that way of thinking. Mark Lombardi is excited about Image stuff. Their 20th anniversary, the Image Expo, new series like Enormous, Saga, Fatale, Harvest, and Porcelain, and overall the continuing renaissance of creator-owned comics. Also looking towards more developments from the DCU and seeing what happens as a result of AVX if it leads to a reboot relaunch for the Marvel Universe. There is not going to be a relaunch. Trust me on this.
We're going to mark you saying that.
Trust me on this.
First week of January, 2012, Pat Liga says there will not be a relaunch.
I mean, no, there won't be a reboot. Let me say that properly. They've been doing soft reboots for the last how many years now? You know, I mean, even Uncanny X-Men and X-Men and you know, and Wolverine and the X-Men, those are kind of they're relaunches, and they're a starting point, even though without eliminating any previous history. You know, they've been doing a lot of that. I think they were going to see Marvel do more of that. They're not going to reset continuity or do whatever like DC did. I think they don't want to risk they don't want to deal with the attrition. You know. Adam Witt writes in Black Kiss 2. Oh, wait. That's you.
I just had to – it's so good that I had to say it as many times.
I don't blame you at all. I would have done the same thing. Next is Michael Lipinski, artist of Feeding Ground from Arkea, who it's really cool. I've known Michael online for a while now. It's cool that he got to – one of his covers made the top 50 covers of the year over at CBR. So good on you, Mike. I'm looking forward to seeing more of his work. Anyway,
his work on Feeding Ground is brilliant.
Yes. I am excited. He says that Prometheus trailer made me feel like I haven't seen sci-fi done right in quite some time. Yeah, I'm excited for that too, actually, now that you mentioned it. Prometheus, I think it's an alien prequel, but it's vague enough that, you know, you're not sure at the same time you know it is. And it's, of course, Ridley Scott doing what he does best.
You mentioned sci-fi, and that reminds me that Paul Cornell and Ryan Kelly are doing Saucer Country over at Vertigo. That's going to be a book to watch.
Actually, talking about Vertigo real quick, Vertigo is constantly changing, and this is a year where, like, I think I'm down maybe to one book from Vertigo by the time Scalped ends.
Yeah.
Everybody
likes to count them out of the race, and I think they're always just kind of feeling out where they are and where they stand and trying new things. You know, Vertigo Crime was a different thing. It looks like they're done with that. It seems like they might drift more toward doing graphic novels this year, but we'll see what happens. I mean, you can never really count them out of the hunt, I don't think.
Well, you never could, because they always produce good stuff, but it's just unfortunate because, I get used to picking up a certain number of books from them because, you know, that imprint is usually a sign of quality.
And no doubt.
Yeah, but at least they still have, you know, I'll have two. I have Spaceman Unwritten still going, but Spaceman's just a 9-issue book, I believe, right?
They're going to do it in seasons, if I heard right, that they're just going to kind of visit it when they can and leave the door open.
Okay. And our buddy Antonio Cuneo is excited for Prometheus, Saga by BKV, and The Age of Apocalypse Ongoing by David Latham. That I'm also excited about, actually.
Anything by David Latham.
That is a very interesting concept, so that should be a lot of fun. Joseph Laboca writes, The Avengers, The Dark Knight Rises, Prometheus, more Jason Aaron projects, more Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, and of course San Diego Comic-Con. Oh, man, I don't even want to think about Comic-Con right now.
C2E2.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for C2E2. I already have my professional pass purchased and taken care of, so that should be good. Jose Morales writes, The Dark Knight Rises, Prometheus, and Avengers. It looks like everyone's excited about the same movies, which is cool. Josh Dahl is into Avengers, G.I. Joe Retaliation, and more Walking Dead. Gregory Dickens is excited about Alan Davis drawing some Captain America. It's nice to see him doing monthly work again, he says. Also, whatever Mignola has planned for Hellboy following the fantastic collaborations with Duncan Figueredo. Yeah, Hellboy is one of those books that just continues to get good. And I'm looking forward to seeing Mignola drawing that book again.
Oh, is he really? Cool.
Yeah, he's going back to drawing. Alex Chung, he's excited about a lot of things. First with movies is Dark Knight Rises, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Prometheus, Avengers, The New Bond, Amazing Spider-Man, and Battleship. Honest.
Oh my God, the new Bond. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what they do with that, with Sam Mendes directing.
Yeah.
It's like the year of weird fits, man.
Yeah. And you know what, though? Sometimes if they're really into it, it'll just turn out good, you know?
Oh, Mendes is good at he hasn't directed a bad bit of directing yet, so it could be amazing.
In comics, he's excited about Tim Seeley taking over Witchblade and Bloodstrike. I'm actually excited about Bloodstrike, actually.
Profit.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. King City coming out in trade. Everyone buy King City. Buy King City.
Yeah.
It's 400 pages of comics for like $20, and it's Brandon Graham just kicking the living hell out of everything that's come before him. Just amazing, amazing comics.
He is also excited about Womanthology, BKV, and Fiona Staples Saga. That's a common theme again, Saga. I really hope it's good. He's also excited about Bendis' last year of Avengers, the Secret Warriors Omnibus. Oh, God, I'm triple-dipping on something again. I promise I would not do that anymore, but here we go, Secret Warriors Omnibus, and the Rick Remender Punisher Omnibus, too, that's coming out. Oh, God. Oh, man.
Pat's wallet weeps, but your bookshelves are happy.
No, man. Funny story, the other day I was rearranging some books, and one of the bookcases literally collapsed.
Okay, they're not as happy as I had earlier imagined.
Yeah, and I had to build a new one. I had to get a new one, which was like, do I leave these books lying around on the floor, or do I buy a new shelf? Fine, I'll just build a new shelf for now.
There you go.
He's also excited about Geoff Johns and Gary Frank's Batman Earth One. I'm actually excited for that too.
That's happening finally.
Yeah, apparently it comes out this year.
Right on.
Yeah, Geoff. I like Johns usually, and I like Gary Frank. I haven't seen his work in a while, so. This should be good. And, of course, the John Romita Spidey Artist Edition, which, again, I am excited about. That looks gorgeous.
Did you see they're doing an Eisner one?
Yeah, Spirit. I think that comes out this month or next month or something.
No, that's in the newest preview, so that would be March, I think.
Okay. March? Yeah, that sounds right.
I was just trying to remember. Mock the way I speak, jerk. Mm-hmm.
Next up is Stephen Earle Chambers. He says, somehow TV has surpassed comics and movies for me. I'm dying to see what happens next with Breaking Bad and how well Clash of Kings is adapted. Yeah, that's I think Breaking Bad kind of supersedes everything for me right now. Until that show ends, there is no peace. And finally, last comment we got is from John Segovia, who writes, Dark Knight Rises in the new James Bond, and also the Chargers leaving San Diego. I like this guy. Anyone with that kind of hate.
I'm looking forward to more Cubs baseball.
Man.
March cannot get here soon enough.
You're a Cubby fan. You're like Fraction. You're a Cubs fan.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life.
And you know what? I will offer my emotional support towards you guys. Because anything that makes me root for something other than the Padres is always a good thing. Because the Padres suck. So do the Chargers. Yeah, we have the crappy sports teams here. They really need to fire all of them and start them over. They need to do a reboot of the San Diego sports teams.
They kind of rebooted the Cubs this year, so it's gonna be interesting to see how that trickles down.
Well, hopefully it means dollar signs and victories for you guys.
I'll settle for victories.
The dollar signs are much better because you get to take that home. Yeah. So, and I think as far as other things, I mean, musically, what do we have this year? I mean, there's the new XX album that you mentioned to me, which I'm pretty excited about. That first album they did was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great. I'm looking forward to more Animal Collective. I know I'm in the weird minority there, but the stuff that they played live that's going to be on the new album sounds really, really cool. So it's always interesting to see what they come out with.
Awesome.
I just thought of another comic, too. Harvey Picard's Cleveland is finally coming out, so that's going to be neat.
Oh, man.
With David Remnick drawing. It's coming out from Top Shelf, I think.
Awesome. Top Shelf never fails to amaze me as far as their output's concerned. They don't put out crap. And I like that. Actually, there's a few books I just picked up recently. I'm kind of pissed off that I was kind of late to the game. Have you read Infinite Kung Fu?
Oh my God, so good!
Keegan McCloud is amazing. He is. Oh man, I can't believe it took me this long to get that book.
Yeah, I still need to do a full read through of Liar's Kiss, the Top Shelf book.
Yeah, that was a good one. Man, I don't know who else. Is there any other? I'm kind of putting myself in the mindset that was that Kate Beaton will put up another book this year, but I doubt it.
Who's this?
Kate Beaton. I wish she'd
it
put
could
out
happen.
A new...
She's constantly doing the webcomic stuff, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see more stuff.
I would love to see her doing new. Yeah, I would love to see another collection by her. She is so she's so awesome.
Yeah, Joe Casey had a big year last year, so it's going to be. I'm looking forward to seeing if his output's going to match what he did in 2011, because you had Vengeance over at Marvel, and he did the Marijuana Man graphic novel, Doc Bizarre. There's another one I think I'm forgetting. Butcher Baker, you know. So he had a lot coming out in 2011. So it's more Joe Casey comics is always good.
Yeah. I was up to, I don't know, if, hopefully you were able to get him on your show, because I would love to have him on myself, actually, one of these days. And he, I think, I remember that guy when he first started out back in the mid-90s, or late, right in the late 90s, that dude started out, scripting a James Robinson Wolverine Days of Future Past miniseries, and then all of a sudden, he took over Cable. Oh, no, he scripted over John Francis Moore for that Wolverine series, rather, and then he took over Cable after James Robinson left. And that dude always impressed me. I remember the first time that he got removed from that book, I was really pissed off because he and LeDron were having a kick-ass run on Cable. And then he got removed and Rob Liefeld took over that book. And I was like, I don't know. Apparently Rob Liefeld's taking over Deathstroke as a writer. And I like Rob and all, but I don't really – I like what Kyle Higgins was doing on Deathstroke. I don't know if I can keep reading that book now.
Weird.
Yeah, the creative reshuffling is really what worries me about the whole New 52 thing. And between that and Marvel double shipping a lot of books, it's going to be weird to see how this battle is going between those two companies.
The shelves are going to be packed, that's for sure.
Yeah, but something's going to give. I don't know. I normally don't like to talk about the market and all that nonsense, because that's not what I'm all about. But it's just going to be interesting because there's something's going to give here. Either books, DC books are going to – people might get frustrated with them because of all the creative reshuffling they keep doing to the books. And a lot of the reasons why people pick up those books is because of the creative teams involved. It's
sure.
I'm worried that people might get tired of it and just drop it. And as far as Marvel's concerned, shipping two issues of a book a month is all right with me, but there's a lot of people who would like to buy other stuff too. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, whatever. In the end, you get what you're into, you get what you like. But it's considering how everything is as far as the economy is concerned and all that. It's the marketplace is going to be very interesting over the next year.
By creator owned.
Oh yeah, buy creator own books. I mean, buy all the comics you like.
buy what you like, absolutely.
Yeah. Buy all the comics you like, and you know what? I'm actually really happy to see a lot of people being excited about creator own books. We read a lot of responses from people, but a lot of people talking about creator own books, and I'm like, that's cool. Now you just need to spread that enthusiasm and get more people to try stuff out. The past.
Well, I will say too that I think Marvel and DC both had really terrific years, at least even in comparison to past years. I think 2011 was really good for both of them in terms of trying new things and putting different names on books and really just kind of getting out there, and I hope they keep that trend going in 2012, because it's been an exciting time to read Marvel and DC books. I mean, when you've got books that are like Flash, like Uncanny X-Force, Wolverine and the X-Men, Demon Knights, Batman, just those are all must-read books. I mean, DC did really well with the New 52. I mean, there were a solid half of those books that were really worth reading, and then some were okay, and then some were terrible. But when you've got that heavy of your line that's worth reading, you're doing something well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm purchasing more DC books now than I have in a long time. You know, although I hate to say that the numbers are shrinking with all the creative teams, you know, getting switched up.
Oh, I can.
There, but, yeah.
You know, I'm the type of person who follows creators. I mean, I rarely follow characters. You know, the only time I only follow, the only time the characters matter is when I'm picking up Avengers. Really, that's the only book that I picked up, you know, for the characters. But everything else is really dependent on who the creators are. I mean, I could stay on a book for, you know, I could try a new creative team and stick around for maybe two issues before I drop it if it's not doing anything for me. And, you know, I encourage, and, you know, in the new year, I encourage people, you know, listening to the show to be more discriminate with their tastes. Pick up what they really love and don't try not to think about what other people think of you when you buy your stuff.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to drop a book if you don't like it. Yeah. You know, you shouldn't stick with something if it's not making you happy. Yeah. There are a lot of really good books out there. You just got to find them.
Yeah, creatively, really, comics are probably at its peak right now. It's so many good books coming out, and there's so many, you know, so much new talent that are popping up. There's really no excuse for you to just stick around. I mean, if you're not feeling what they're doing, say, on X-Men, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with X-Men, if you're not feeling what they're doing there, just don't buy it. Don't buying comics out of habit or buying comics because you're a completist is not a good excuse to buy comics. You buy comics because you're entertained and you love the medium. Don't ever buy a book because people, you know, just don't buy a book if you don't care for it. You know, don't force yourself, because you'll be miserable by the end of everything, and you'll end up hating the medium and just drop out of it completely, which is
absolutely
not a good idea. Yeah. At any rate, that was a fun little discussion. Next week, I will return with Kalman Andrzejewski, cover artist for X-23. We'll talk about some process stuff and his career and other good stuff. And Adam, where can people find you online?
I'm at twitter.com/AdamWith. And right now, Comics Will Break Your Heart website is comicswillbreakyourheart.tumblr.com. But we will be moving to Comic Book Noise very soon.
Excellent. And, of course, I am on about.me/PatLoika. And follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/PatLoika. And, of course, you can also follow, since this is the beginning of the year, I will have to plug it. You can also check out my other show, also part of the comic book, part of the Deliberate Noise Network, which is Pro Wrestling Noise, where we talk pro wrestling. And it's ridiculous and it's fun. And every now and then you will catch me singing wrestling theme songs, which is pretty embarrassing. Yeah, the last episode, you'll know what I'm talking about. Anyway, thank you all for listening. I'm looking forward to another fun year of podcasting with Adam and all our friends here. And we have some exciting guests lined up. This month alone, like I mentioned, I have Kalman Andrzejewski, who'll be followed by letterer Clayton Cowles, who letters a ton of books for Marvel. And you get to find out what letterers hate about writers. And I'm not going to ruin that for you here. You have to wait till the interview comes up. And, of course, I interview Declan Shalvey of Thunderbolts and Northlanders. And we have some fun. We talk about fun stuff as well. So, yeah, that's the slate for the month. And next month we have more guests. I'm not going to spoil anything, but you'll find out soon enough. If you follow me on Twitter, you will see what I'm talking about. So, sorry, it got long winded. I got a little long winded there. Thank you all again. Thank you again to cheapgraphicnovels.com. Check them out. And until next week, you all take it easy.
Bye.